I was asked to do it, and it was a decision that I thought hard about, discussed with my family, and decided it was the right thing to do.
You get the impression that this is almost a groundhog day of being a defense lawyer, that you get all the ground rules set, the sun comes down, the sun goes up in the next morning, there's a whole set of rules in terms of what, in terms of defending somebody down there.
Well, the origin of the military commissions in Guantanamo has a very bad history. It was started originally a short time after 9/11 happened, and put together in a very bad way, and then it's had a second go-round, a second legislation that set it up, and now we're into the third generation of it, and it's better now than the first two were, but there's still problems with it. We still don't know whether the courts are going to decide that the United States Constitution applies, and that's a decision that has not been made yet. The trial judge has not, either has found that he has not had the occasion to make that decision, or is deferring the decision, and ultimately that will be decided by the Supreme Court.
Now, can you say who you're defending?
Yes.
Okay, who is it?
I represent Ramzi bin al-Sheba. He was supposed to be one of the persons to fly a plane, and that he was unable to get a visa to the United States, so he remained behind in Hamburg, Germany, where he was living in. He is accused of being a coordinator or an organizer of the hijackers.
So he's been in custody for 12 years?
Yes, he was arrested on September the 11th of 2012.
You know, when you're dealing with a regular client, they know the rules, they know maybe what they did was dumb, stupid, criminal, whatever, but they know how the process is going to work out. How do you explain to this guy that you have no idea how the process is going to work out?
Well, you have to understand that he has been educated by the process in the last, certainly the last 6 years since he's been at Guantanamo. They started the second version of the military commissions, which were ultimately dismissed in 2009, so he had some experience with the commission procedure then. And now the second iteration, or the third iteration of the commissions has been going on, and he's exposed to everything that happens in the court, everything that we do. He's a very intelligent person, and he's basically learned what the system is like, and he understands it certainly far better than most clients that I would have.
English, Arabic, maybe some German.
He speaks Arabic and he speaks English very well.
A lot of defense lawyers tell me they never ask if their guy or their woman did it. They just, to a certain extent, don't want to know. Do you ask him, or does he tell you, or how does that work?
That's not a subject that I can talk to you about. But by the way, I've never subscribed to that theory myself in terms of representing somebody.
Well, let me ask the question this way. Did he expect to get caught?
When you ask me questions about what he expected and what he has said to me, if it is anything that's related to the case, it's considered classified, so I'm not allowed to talk about it.
You say he's been at Guantanamo for 6 years. Do you know where he was in the other years?
Yes.
Can't talk about that either.
I cannot.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. I don't know whether you can talk about this. Was he tortured?
I can tell you this. Yes, he was tortured.
There's a famous case out of Chicago a couple of years ago where the cops were torturing people.
Right.
This has got to be appalling to you as a lawyer, as an American citizen.
Well, I guess the question becomes, what, if any, sanction is there for what torture he or his co-accused have suffered? And the prosecution has already said they are not going to attempt to introduce into evidence anything that was said during the time period that any of the five men were tortured. But we also get, there are issues of torture which will arise. One is whether any statements that were given after the torture period ended, which the prosecution intends to try to offer into evidence, was tainted or affected by the torture. And it also the torture goes toward what remedy the jury might impose on our clients if they're convicted. Whether that would be considered in terms of a death sentence.
I have no idea if this is true, but it's generally believed the government is reading your emails, it's listening to your phone conversations, it probably has the rooms where you meet with your clients bugged. I mean, if they bug AP, they're going to bug somebody at Guantanamo. How difficult is it to represent somebody when the prosecution is listening to what you're saying?
Well, that's a an assumption that you make, and that they are in fact doing that. Okay, we've had recent proceedings were very disturbing. One, we had an incident where the microphones in the courtroom were clearly being listened to by an agency which has not been identified, outside the knowledge of certainly the defense and the military judge who's presiding. And there have been attempts to remedy that situation. We've also discovered that in the places where we meet our clients, devices which we were told were smoke detectors, it in fact turns out that they were listening devices. And there are representations made by the guard force that's down there that those were not activated during any attorney-client privileges or meetings, and that they were put there for a different purpose, which was when those rooms were being used to interrogate people many years ago. So obviously there's certainly strong reason for suspicion. There's also some monitoring that we're aware of all communications that go in and out of Guantanamo because of classification issues, and so that it's a constant concern. There's recently an incident where, in a case unrelated to ours, for one of the what they call non-high value detainees, a judge ordered the disclosure of email communications between the prosecution and defense when the prosecution asked the technical people to get the email communications, and all they wanted were things that were not covered by attorney-client privilege. They were given all of the email communications of the defense, which were classified, and they claimed that they notified the proper authorities immediately when that happened. But what it did was it exposed a real functioning and fundamental problem in the system that we have, where our computer system is not segregated from the prosecution. There is purportedly a wall that would prevent either side from going into the other side, but they were all operating under the same system within the Department of Defense. And so that's being remedied now, where it appears that what the remedy is going to be that we will have a separate system and that the prosecution will have a separate system. But another problem arose in terms of the coordination of data from the computers in Guantanamo to the computers in Arlington, Virginia, where our main offices are, and a significant amount of defense data has been lost, and that's created another problem. So there's continuing problems, and there's continuing reason for reasonable people to be very suspicious of what the government is doing.